When Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father to say something from whatever he had learned, he considered that what he had learned from his spiritual master was the best of all teachings, whereas what he had learned about diplomacy from his material teachers, Shanda and Amarka, was useless. Bhaktir Paranishubhava Viraktir Anyatracha Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.42. This is the symptom of pure devotional service. So now Prabhupada just gives the verse here. Bhaktir Paranishubhavur Viraktir Anyatracha. And then he says, this is the symbol of pure devotional service. Now somebody knows what about this verse. This is a very, very, very interesting verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada says, this is the symptom of pure devotional service. Yeah, just when you eat. When a hungry person eats, three things appear. Pushti, tushti, kshutkasaya. Pushti, pleasure, nourishment, and cessation of hunger. So similarly, when one engages in a devotional service, immediately three things appear. This is bhakti. Bhakti, devotion for God. Paranishubhava. One has the direct experience of the Lord. And virakti. Virakti means detachment. But there are two words for detachment we use. Sometimes we use the words vairagya and virakti. But virakti has a different meaning. Virakti is one symptom of bhava bhakti. Virakti means when one is detached, when there is in the midst of disturbance. But vairagya means one has to make a real endeavor to detach himself or herself. But virakti means when somebody is naturally detached, doesn't hanker. But although everything is around him, that person, but he or she is not attached. It's natural detachment. And Prabhupada says, these three things, this is the symptom of pure devotional service. In other words, person is interested only in Krishna. You notice here how when I read Sanskrit translation, Prabhupada, I think, three times mentioned Vishnu, only for Vishnu and not anybody else. Only for Vishnu and not anybody else. In previous purports I was reading, if you remember, Prabhupada is mentioned that bhakti is for Vishnu only. Bhakti is for Krishna, not for anyone else. But this bhakti is all-inclusive. In Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions how when bhakti naturally appears in the heart, alongside bhakti there is compassion. Because one is close to God, feels compassion for all living entities. But bhakti is for God. Bhakti is for Krishna. There's one grihastha approached Srila Prabhupada. He just got married. And then he asked, okay, now it's a different ashram. How we should behave? I should love my wife. But Prabhupada turned to him and said, love? Love is for Krishna. But that is all inclusive, so we have to really understand what that means. Love is for Krishna. But one who really loves Krishna, then he or she loves everybody else. So we continue with the reading. So Prabhupada says, this is the symptom of pure devotional service. A pure devotee is interested only in devotional service, not in material affairs. To execute devotional service, one should always engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna or Lord Vishnu. The process of temple worship is called archana. How to perform archana will be explained herein. One should have complete faith in the words of Krishna, who says that he is the great well-wisher friend of everyone, Sukhridam Sarva Bhutanam. A devotee considers Krishna the only friend. This is called Sakyam. Pumsar Pita Vishnu. The word Pumsa means by all living entities. There are no distinctions permitting only a man or only a brahmana to offer devotional service to the Lord. Everyone can do so. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.32, Shriya Vaishyas Tata Shudras Tepi Yanti Param Gatim. Although women, Vaishyas and Shudras are considered less intelligent, they also can become devotees and return home, back to Godhead. After performing sacrifices, sometimes a person engaged in fruitive activity customarily offers the result to Vishnu. But here it is said, Bhagavatyada, one must directly offer service, everything to Vishnu. This is called sannyas, not merely nyas. A Tridandi sannyasi carries the three dandas, signifying kaya, mana, vakya, body, mind, and words. All of these should be offered to Vishnu, and then one can begin devotional service. Fruity workers first perform some pious activities and then formally or officially offer the result to Vishnu. The real devotee, however, first offers his surrender to Krishna with his body, mind, and words, and then uses his body, mind, and words for the service of Krishna as Krishna desires. So in this paragraph, what is Prabhupada saying? Prabhupada is making a distinction between Nishkam Karma Yoga and Bhakti. In Bhagavad Gita, you find this difference in verses 926 and 927. In verse 926, Patram Pushpam Palantoyam Yome Bhaktya Prayajati, that Krishna is mentioning that whoever offers me with devotion, there is a leaf, water, some fruit, I accept it. And then in the next verse says, Yat Karoshi, Yat Ashnasi, Yat Juhoshi, Yash. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever austerities you do, just offer it to me. So this verse describes Nishkam Karma Yoga technically, and the previous verse describes bhakti. What is the difference? Prabhupada makes here the point. In bhakti, one surrenders in the beginning. Okay, Krishna, whatever you want, I'll do it for you. I surrender. Usually what it means in our community, you come to the temple and do whatever the authority asks you to do. This is how it was when I joined. You just do whatever you're being asked to do. Because this is by you surrender. That's surrender. But Nishkam Karma Yoga means, okay, Krishna, I like to do this. I like to give classes. I like to be a manager. I like to do this. Just leave me this, leave me my activity, but when I get some result, I'll give it to you. So you see, there is not, surrender is at the end. That's the difference between Nishkam Karma Yoga and Bhakti. To the degree one is ready to give the result, one is labeled Nishkam or Sakam. And this is what Prabhupada is saying here. After this introduction, now Prabhupada goes a little bit more into explaining these nine processes of bhakti. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following explanation in his Tatya. The word Shravana refers to giving oral reception to the holy name and descriptions of the Lord's form, qualities, entourage, and pastimes as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar authorized scriptures. After oral receiving such messages, one should memorize the vibrations and repeat them, kirtana. Smaranam means trying to understand more and more about the Supreme Lord. And padasevanam means engaging oneself in serving the lotus feet of the Lord according to the time and circumstances. Archanam means worshipping Lord Vishnu as one does in the temple. And vandanam means offering respectful obeisances. Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. Vandanam means namaskuru, offering obeisances or offering prayers, thinking oneself to be Nitya Krishna Das, everlastingly a servant of Krishna, is called Dasyam, and Sakyam means being a well-wisher of Krishna. That is interesting how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying, being a well-wisher of Krishna. Usually Krishna is all well-wisher, but in Sakyam attitude one considers himself or herself, I'm a Krishna's well-wisher. Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto him because everyone is constitutionally his servant. Therefore, as a sincere friend of Krishna, one should preach this philosophy, requesting everyone to surrender unto him. Atmanivedanam means offering Krishna everything, including one's body, mind, intelligence, and whatever one possesses. One's sincere endeavor to perform this nine processes of devotional service is technically called bhakti. So this is the abhideya, this is the process of devotional service. This navalakshana, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnusmaranam, pararsivanam, archanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. So this is technically called bhakti. The word ada means directly. One should not be like the karmis who perform pious activities and then formally offer the result to Krishna. You see the difference between being a karma yogi and bhakti yogi. You first do the activity, then just formally, okay, I'll give it to you, Krishna. No, bhakti means I do it for you from the very beginning, and this is bhakti. That is karma kanda. One should not aspire for the results of his pious activities, but should dedicate oneself fully and then act piously. In other words, one should act for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, not for the satisfaction of his own senses. That is the meaning of the word directly. Anyabilashita shunyam gina karmari anabritam anukulina krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. This is called pure devotional service. One should simply satisfy Krishna without being influenced by fruitive knowledge or fruitive activity. So this is the definition from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu given by Rupa Goswami that describes pure devotional service. The Gopala Tapani Upanishad says that the word bhakti means engagement in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not of anyone else. So this is, you see, that's the point that Prabhupada is making in here, and also in the verse, is he's often saying, for Vishnu, it's for Krishna, it's for God, it's for, not for anyone else. This Upanishad describes that bhakti is the offering of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To perform devotional service, one should be relieved of the bodily conception of life and aspirations to be happy, to elevation to higher planetary systems. In other words, work performed simply for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, without any desire for material benefit, it's called bhakti. See what is Prabhupada saying? That bhakti starts when one is actually freed from the bodily conception of life and from a desire to be happy in this world. There's a verse in Brahma Bhuta Prasanat Mana Shochati Nakangshati Samaham Sarve Bhuteshu. Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Said, when one is Brahma Bhuta, when one is not hankering for anything, one is not lamenting, when one is sama sarve bhuteshu, when one is equal to every living entity, mad bhaktim labhate param. Then, when one is on this level, then bhakti starts. So we can measure ourselves where we are. When the real bhakti starts, this is what Prabhupada is saying. Bhakti is also called nishkarma, or freedom from the results of fruitive activity. Bhakti and nishkarma are on the same platform, although devotional service and fruitive activity appear almost the same. The 9 different processes enunciated by Prahlada Maharaj, who learned them from Narada Muni, may not all be required for the execution of devotional service. If a devotee performs only one of these 9, without deviation, he can attain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes it is found that one performs one of the processes, other processes are mixed as well. That is not improper for a devotee. When a devotee executes any of the 9 processes, Navalakshana, this is sufficient. The other 8 processes are included. Now, let us discuss these 9 different processes. So what Prabhupada is saying, that it's not necessary to perform all of the processes. Just only one, but only one with focused intention. Executed perfectly. Because why? All other processes are simply included with that. Shravanam. Number 1, Shravanam. Hearing of the holy name of the Lord, Shravanam, is the beginning of devotional service. Although any of the 9 processes is sufficient, in chronological order, the hearing of the holy name of the Lord is the beginning. Indeed, it is essential, as enunciated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is cleansed of the material conception of life, which is due to the dirty modes of material nature. When the dirt is cleansed from the core of one's heart, one can realize the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Thus, by hearing the holy name of the Lord, one comes to the platform of understanding the personal form of the Lord. After realizing the Lord's form, one can realize the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And one can understand his transcendental qualities, one can understand Lord's associates. In this way, a devotee advances further and further towards complete understanding of the Lord as he awakens in realization of the Lord's holy name, transcendental form and qualities, his paraphernalia and everything pertaining to him. Therefore, the chronological process is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. The same process of chronological understanding holds true in chanting and remembering. When the chanting of the holy name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia is heard from the mouth of the pure devotee, his hearing and chanting are very pleasing. Srila Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear the chanting of an artificial devotee or non-devotee. What Prabhupada is saying here, that logically, hearing, that's the first thing. Because none of us would be here if we wouldn't hear in the beginning from somebody about Krishna. Shravanam, it's the beginning. And I was... excuse me. And a couple of times... in Srimad Bhagavatam, you have this sequence mentioned in the same order, actually five times. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, or Dhyanam, which is almost the same thing. And they always appear in this order. So first is Shravanam, then is Kirtanam, and then is Smaranam. They always appear in this order. Shravanam comes in the beginning. And in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned, it is in the first canto, this famous sequence of verses, Shushudo, Shudadana, Sya, Vasudeva, Kataruchi, Sian Mahat, Siva, Vitpra, Punyatirta, Nishevanat, that affinity to hear Vasudeva Kataruchi, or taste for Vasudeva Kata, it happens in the association of devotees, by serving the devotees. There are two types of hearing. One hearing is in the beginning initially, when a newcomer or person who doesn't know anything about Krishna just hears from somebody with an open mind. This is the first type of hearing. The second type of hearing is when a person comes into the association of devotees. Then the process of purification starts. Srimata Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. Punya, what is auspicious, Shravana. After Shravana is done, then Kirtana comes. Kridantya Stuha Hyabhadrani, then Abhadra, unauspicious. Bhadra means something good, and Abhadra means what is not good, what is not auspicious, is cleansed from the heart. Hearing from the text of Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the most important process of hearing. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of transcendental chanting of the holy name, and therefore the chanting and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam are transcendentally full of mellows. So Prabhupada is saying here that hearing about Srimad Bhagavatam is also Shravanam. The transcendentally holy name of the Lord may be heard and chanted according to the attraction of devotee. Now Prabhupada is making an interesting point about the personal affinity of a devotee, what is often called like Ishta Devata, one's chosen deity of worship. The transcendental holy name of the Lord may be heard and chanted according to the attraction of the devotee. One may chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, or one may chant the holy name of Lord Rama as Nrisimhadev, Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Amena Tishtan. The Lord has innumerable forms and names, and devotees may meditate upon a particular form and chant the holy name according to his or her attraction. The best course is to hear of the holy name, form, and so on from a pure devotee of the same standard as oneself. In other words, one who is attached to Krishna should chant and hear from other pure devotees who are also attached to Lord Krishna. The same principle applies for devotees attached to Lord Rama, Lord Nisimha, and other forms of the Lord. Because Krishna is the ultimate form of the Lord, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, it is best to hear about Lord Krishna's name, form, and pastimes from a realized devotee who is particularly attracted by the form of Lord Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, great devotees like Shukadev Goswami have specifically described Lord Krishna's holy name, form, and qualities. Unless one hears about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord, one cannot clearly understand the other processes of devotional service. So that's the most important point. Unless one clears and understands completely, one cannot really understand the other processes. So that is the beginning of devotional service. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that one chant the holy name of Krishna, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. If one is fortunate enough to hear from the mouth of a realized devotee, he is very easily successful on the path of devotional service. Therefore, hearing of the holy name, forming qualities of the Lord, is essential. Tadvak visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abadavatyapi namami anantasya shonkantani yat Shivanti Gayanti Grananti Sadavaha. Verses describing the name, form, and qualities of Anantadev, the unlimited Supreme Lord, are able to vanquish all the sinful reactions of the entire world. Therefore, even if such verses are improperly composed, devotees hear them, describe them, and accept them as bona fide and authorized. In this connection, Sridhar Swami has remarked that a pure devotee takes advantage of another pure devotee by trying to hear from him about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord. If there is no such opportunity, he alone chants and hears the Lord's holy name. This is the verse that Prabhupada quotes in the introduction to his first canto of Bhagavatam, saying, even if the messenger is... Shrara Gokulananda ki jai. He's saying, even if the messenger is not perfect, even if the messenger has a cold, or English is not his first language, or even he doesn't know Sanskrit, or even there are some, it's not fully realized, there is validity in the message itself. And that's a great encouragement for all of us, actually. Prabhupada is quoting this, referring to himself. I may not be perfect, but take this Srimad Bhagavatam, because the message is perfect. And Prabhupada quotes Sridhar Swami saying that devotee is actually always eager to hear. There's always eagerness to hear. Because, and that's a realization that I experienced when studying Bhakti Shastri in Vrindavan. Because sometimes if you're in your own head, you take Krishna consciousness as you see it and that's it. But other people have valid visions. They come from different points of view. They have realization, and it's very valid for us to listen. And this is what we are doing actually every morning in Bhagavatam class. We are hearing from different devotees and seeing, oh, I didn't understand this point in this way. It's very interesting how, oh, this is really good. Because if we are always in our head, we become like this. But other devotees have interesting points. Like Prabhupada is mentioning second canto, saying that there are different birds in the sky. You have you have herons, you have storks, you have what's the small bird it's called? You have different, and they fly in different ways. According to, you have eagles, hawks. I'm just remembering the big birds. I don't know. Sparrows, I was looking for a sparrow, robins, or they have different types of birds, and they all fly in different ways according to their own capacity. So each one of us has his own capacity, and we fly all differently. And it's not, you know, it's not that the eagle will come to a sparrow and say, oh, how are you flying? This is not proper. You should really fly like I am flying. That's no. Each devotee has a different capacity. Each devotee has a different realization, and it's valid. And we should be eager to hear. I remember once I was studying in Radhadesh. I was there living for 4 years as a student. And then I just decided, because I felt, wow, sometimes Srimad Bhagavatam class is boring. And I would look who was giving a class. And I was going, ah, this person, come on, he cannot say anything. And I would just stay in my room. Then Tathagat Prabhu would come to me and saying, oh, why are you not coming to class? Then I said, oh, I prefer to reading Bhagavatam for myself, because I know this person won't say anything valid. I said, can you imagine how proud? Because everybody has something valid to share. One doesn't have to be learned or very clever or very sophisticated Bhagavatam presentation, but every devotee has a valid realization to share, and we should be eager to hear this. And then I learned, yeah, you always come. Sometimes it's boring because you hear Bhagavatam class every day, every day, every day. But if we open ourselves, then we can learn always and every day. Every day is a school day. Like my Sanskrit teacher used to say, every day is a school day. Every day we can learn. And especially if we come to Bhagavatam class with this mentality, open mentality. Yeah, I want to learn. I want to hear. And that's the mentality. Now, second point, now Prabhupada is going into Kirtanam. The hearing of the holy name has been described above. Now let us try to understand the chanting of the holy name, which is the second item in the consecutive order. It is recommended that such chanting be performed very loudly. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni says that without shame he began traveling all over the world, chanting the holy name of the Lord. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised, Trinara Pisu Nichena Tarura Pisa Hishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. A devotee can very peacefully chant the holy name of the Lord by behaving more humbly than the grass, being tolerant like a tree, and offering respects to everyone without expecting honor from anyone else. Such qualifications make it easier to chant the holy name of the Lord. The process of transcendental chanting can be easily performed by anyone, even if one is physically unfit, classified lower than others, devoid of material qualifications, or not at all elevated in terms of pious activities. The chanting of the holy name is beneficial. An aristocratic bird, an advanced education, beautiful bodily features, wealth, or similar results of pious activities are all unnecessary for advancement in spiritual life. For one can very easily advance simply by chanting the holy name. If you paid attention to this last sentence, what is Prabhupada actually paraphrasing here is one verse from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shribir. Narva Hartya Bidatum Van Tvama Jamnaishvara Shutabir Jamnaishvara Shuta Shribir Edamana Madapumam Narva Hartya Bidatum Vai Tvama Kinchana Gochara. He's saying that not only it's not requirement, but these things, good birth, janma, learning, being very wealthy, being good looking, actually are impediments. Because why? Why do you think these things are impediments in devotional service? Pride, yeah. Like, these are like our crutches in the material world. We take shelter of them. We feel comfortable when we have a lot of money on the bank account. We feel comfortable when we have a good standing in the society. We feel very comfortable when people comment, oh, you look so beautiful, you nice clothes, yeah. You look so young, you're so healthy. And yeah, we take shelter of these things. And because we take shelter of these things, there is no sincerity in our aspiring, calling for Lord. When one is dependent on these things, one person cannot call for Lord sincerely. One has to be Tvama Kinchana Gochara. One always has to feel, Lord, I don't have anything. I'm poor, I don't have anything. You are my only shelter. And this is the requirement to advance in devotional service. This is what is required. It is understood from the authoritative source of Vedic literature that especially in this age, Kali Yuga, people are generally short-living, extremely bad in their habits, and inclined to accept methods of devotional service that are not bona fide. Again, Prabhupada is paraphrasing here another verse, which I cannot remember at the moment. How does it go? Manda, manda, sumat. Anyhow, I can just... But Prabhupada, if you study real Prabhupada, then you can see often he's doing this. He's just paraphrasing verses. Moreover, they are always disturbed by material conditions, and they are mostly unfortunate. Under the circumstances, the performance of other processes, such as yajna, dana, tapa, and kriya, sacrifices, charity, and so on, are not at all possible. Therefore, it is recommended, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Iva Kivalam, kalonastya evanastya evanastya eva gatir anyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one advances perfectly in spiritual life. This is the best process for success in life. In other ages, the chanting of the holy name is equally powerful, but especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is most powerful. Kirtanat eva Krishnasya mukta sanga param vrajit. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one is liberated and returns home, back to Godhead. Therefore, even if one is able to perform other processes of devotional service, one must adopt the chanting of the holy name as the principal method of advancing in spiritual life. Yagya sankirtana praya yajanti hi sumedasa. These who are very sharp in their intelligence, sumedasa. Meda means intelligence, and su, when you have prefix su, means very. Like in Bhagavad Gita, you have this word susukam. Sukha means happiness, but su means like greater happiness. Sumedasa. Those who are very sharp in their intelligence should adopt this process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. One should not, however, manufacture different types of chanting. Prabhupada is referring to certain... his name is Ram Charan Das Babaji. I remember I was in Vrindavan, and I was 8 years ago, first time. I was a new bhakta, I didn't know much. And then, how's this going? Hare Krishna, Hare Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam, Japa Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Prabhupada is saying that one should not, however, manufacture different types of chanting. So, in the terms, there are different types of chanting. You sometimes chant, some chant Rama before Krishna, or sometimes this guy was a Babaji, Ram Charan Das Babaji. He invented his own type of chanting, saying for Kirtan, Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam. This is what you chant in Kirtan, and Japa is Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And this is going all and all, and I was hearing this all night. And I was thinking, because it was so loud, and it was the whole day and all night, thinking, oh, this must be many people doing this. And then someone told me, no, this is just a couple of people, they have a big speaker, and then just going on and on. So Prabhupada is saying, one should not manufacture his own way of chanting. One should adhere seriously to the chanting of the holy name as recommended in the scriptures. And this is, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And now, there's one big paragraph about offenses. And I think I'll skip this, because if you want to read, you can read. But Prabhupada is just mentioning the offenses, the chanting of the holy name. Actually, there is a very nice verse in the first canto of Bhagavatam that describes how lucky and fortunate we are, and what's the benefit of chanting the holy names. It says that Iti murti abhidanena mantra murtim amurtikam yajeta yagya purusham sasamyak darshanam pumam. Usually we take the word murti and meaning the form. But the form of the Lord, that's the murti. But Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur is giving another explanation of the word murti, saying murti means difficulty. And in this verse, mantra murtim amurtikam, that Krishna that appears in the form of the mantra, mantra murti, transcendent supreme personality of Godhead that appears in the sound vibration, mantra murti. For one who is calling this mantra murti, amurtikam, the path is it's all difficulties are being made, being eradicated. It's not difficult. Amurtikam. And for that person, only by chanting the holy name, that person sasamyak darshanam pumam. Prabhupada saying that person is an actual seer. But samyak means complete, and darshan means to come in front of the Lord and to see. that person has a complete vision and complete understanding of God and transcendence. Just by chanting this Mantra Murti. Mantra Murtim Amurtikam. I like this, how it goes. Mantra Murtim Amurtikam. Sasamyak Darshanam Pumam. Sasamyak, completely. Darshan, completely in this Mantra Murti. In this respect, there is an interesting exchange that goes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. If you know the story, this is the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Gopakumar is a little cowherd boy from Govardhan. Actually, what means? Gopakumar is not a name. You can say Gopa means a cowherd boy and Kumar a boy. So it, in a way, it's not a proper name. And later, Krishna gives him a proper name, said you are Sarup, actually. And he travels to the universe, searching for his, searching the place where he can worship the Lord as according to his heart's feelings. And he goes to different places. He goes to Brahmaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka. He goes to abode of Lord Shiva. He goes to Dwaraka. He goes to Ayodhya, and finally lands in Vrindavan. And then on his way up, there are many interesting things are happening. And how he's traveling? He's just chanting a mantra, a Gopal mantra, and by the power of this mantra, he is able to go to all these different places in the universe. And then he arrives to Janaloka. And then he speaks with different sages. And then the sages start to speak with him. And one sage's name is Pippalayana. Sri Pippalayana said, why do you want to leave this exalted place and go somewhere else? And why are you wandering around just to see the Supreme with your eyes? You should concentrate your mind in meditation. Then you will naturally see the Lord everywhere, within and without, as if always before you in person. Lord Vasudev, the Supreme Soul, the embodiment of eternality, knowledge, and bliss, reveals himself in a thoroughly purified heart, not anywhere else. So the sage is saying, why are you going here and there trying to see God? Just focus, meditate, because God reveals in the purified heart. You agree? If the heart is pure, Lord appears there. Then, with nothing else going in the mind, direct vision of Lord Hari with one's eyes takes place in the heart. So for such a person, when the heart is purified, Hridanta Hyohi Abhadrani, his Abhadra is gone, then one can see the Lord in the heart. When the mind is happy, all the senses are automatically happy, for the functions of all senses, speech, vision, hearing, and so on, are included within those of the mind. So when the mind is happy, heart is purified, then all the senses are naturally happy. Would you agree with that? Without the functions of the mind, the functions of all the senses are useless. For even if one acts, one deeds will be as if never performed, because the self will be unable to perceive them. If the Lord, out of compassion for his devotees, sometimes reveals himself to their eyes, that vision actually occurs by the power of the mind. One only imagines the eyes to be the seers. And even if the power of his mercy he becomes visible to external eyes, the bliss that arises from seeing him has its natural source in the heart. You agree with that? That bliss later continues in the heart, even after the Lord is no longer visible to the eyes. So the Lord may come and go, but because one heart is purified, mind is satisfied, one can actually see constantly. One can be with Krishna always. Thus, the worthy receiver of that bliss is the mind alone. In other words, what the sage is saying, just abandon your chanting, just abandon your desire to see the Lord in, like face to face. Just try to meditate. And when you meditate, then your heart will become pure and you will see the Lord everywhere and always. You should just abandon your process of chanting. You just try to meditate. This is what the sages are saying. This is on Tapaloka. And then Gopakumar comes to Vaikuntha Loka, and Vaikuntha Dutas preach a little bit against this philosophy. These are all good arguments, yeah? Would you agree? But Vishnu Dutas have a little bit a different take on it. It says, superior of bhakti in the form of remembering, they think, appears within the mind, the turbulent, frightful, and mighty chief of all the senses, when by serious efforts the mind has been brought under control and fully purified. Saying, they were saying to you that superior bhakti appears in the mind. And then they start to preach to Gopakumar. But we consider chanting to be alone the most exalted form of bhakti. So better than meditation. Better than remembering, which appears only if in one's own turbulent heart. For chanting harnesses not only the faculty of speech, which it engages directly, but also the mind and senses of hearing. And chanting helps not only the person practicing it, but others as well. Therefore, chanting is more superior. Because it involves more senses. It involves speech. And when we do japa, it involves touching. And if we are attentive, it involves mind. It should involve mind. So in other words, one should focus. One should be focused. There is a verse in Yoga Sutra that is saying that if one chants attentively and one is focused on his chanting, then the Ishta Devata, then the Lord appears in the heart. But only by focused chanting. So if the Lord didn't appear to us, then we can know what is the cause. But if that's the meaning of the word mantra. Mantra can take something from a distant place and make it available just in front of us. That's the potency of the mantra. If those attached to the meditation of the Lord still insist that remembering is of greater importance with their intelligence, they should make the following distinction. In meditation, the Lord reveals himself fully with his particular qualities. But in remembrance, the mind merely comes in contact with the Lord. If by the force of one meditation, all functions of the senses, sankirtan of the Lord, physical contact with him, seeing him in sanham, so on, become absorbed into the function of the mind, that meditation may be accepted as better than chanting out loud. Sankirtan expands the joy of meditation. Meditation, the sweet joy of sankirtan. In our experience, the two methods fortify one another and are therefore actually one. And then as a conclusion, is saying, of the many ways to chant Krishna's glories, foremost is his Nama Sankirtan. It is deemed the best because it can evoke at once the treasure of pure love of Krishna. So it's Nama Sankirtan, that's the best. Why? Because at once it can evoke the pure love of Krishna. Am I supposed to finish or... what? When? Eight thirty. Sorry for that. I didn't know. So I didn't finish the purport. So I'll just mention because it's why I still have 7 pages to go. Because I thought I have till 9 o'clock. Okay, I'll just summarize a little bit briefly. Prabhupada is speaking about that one cannot really advance if one makes offenses in his chanting. Usually, the name he says aparada. The word aparada means going against the flow. If for example, you find yourself in a river, and because I swam when I was young, I swam a lot in the river, and there's a river flowing through my town, and we would swim there a lot. And you have a current, it's going in this way, and you try to swim in the opposite way. Wow, you won't go anywhere, but you will lose a lot of strength and power. You cannot advance. You're going against the flow. So similarly, chanting, you're just going against the flow if you make the offenses. It's impossible. It's impossible to go anywhere. Then Prabhupada speaks about smaranam, and smaranam actually is a consequence of or the fruit of love, because if we love somebody, then we think about that person. Just remember, I won't ask the brahmacharis, but when you're in love, or when you first meet the person, or what is she doing? What is he doing? Oh, I'm just wondering. And you think naturally. It comes naturally to you. So smaranam, that's if we love, if we have some feelings for a person, then smaranam naturally comes. And then Prabhupada mentions different types of smaranam, different stages of smaranam. Technically, they are called smaranam, taranam, dhyanam, dhruvanusmriti, and samadhi. Then after smaranam, and these three are the most important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in Jaiva Dharma that these three first are the most important, because everything else is contained in shravanam, kirtanam, and smaranam. These three processes of devotional service are the most important. Everything else is included within. And out of these three, kirtanam is the most important, because it purifies the heart immediately. Then after this is pada sevanam. And what is included in pada sevana? Literally, pada means the lotus feet, and sevana means to serve. Pada sevanam includes other processes such as hearing the form of the Lord, touching the form of the Lord, circumambulating the Lord or temple of the Lord, visiting such places as Jagannath Puri, Dwaraka, and Mathura to see the Lord's form, and bathing in the Ganges and Yamuna. So bathing in Ganges and Yamuna is pada sevanam. This is also parasevana. The word tadiya means in relationship with the Lord. Service to the Vaishnavas, Tulsi, Ganges and Yamuna are all included in parasevana. So you can meditate when you serve prasadam to the devotees. That's service, but it's parasevana. I just never thought about this like this, because Prabhupada is saying here that tadiya, everything that is related to the Lord. Tadiya, that's even more important. The word, those items that, and devotees are naturally connected to the Lord. So it's also parasevanam. Archanam, worship for the deity. And Prabhupada is saying, especially for the grihastas. Because he's saying, he's making funny. He's kind of indicating that grihastas have a lot of money, so they should worship the Lord. They should use this money in worshiping the Lord, Archana. And then he's mentioning a lot of offenses that can be committed in the process of Archanam. And after Archanam is Vandanam, prayers, praying to the Lord. So whenever we come in front of the Lord, we are doing Vandanam, just or offering obeisances, or offering our prayers. Dasyam, and serving. Sakyam, that one becomes a friend. But this is a little bit higher when one is on the level of pure devotional service, when one could, like Arjuna or Shridam, or and say, Krishna is my friend. And when he sees himself as a well-wisher, I am Krishna's well-wisher. Like cowherd boys, like Krishna is not holding Govardhan Hill, but we are helping him. He's, all of us are strong. We have our sticks. We are actually helping Krishna. Atmanivedanam, Atma, the word Atma can have different meanings. Can mean the self, the body, and the mind, and means fully surrendering completely. And in Shastra, there are different examples of Atmanivedanam, but two examples are given for full surrender to the Lord. Does somebody know what are the two examples given by Shukadeva Goswami for full or complete surrender to the Lord? For Atmanivedanam. The two examples are given. Two examples from Bhagavatam of devotees who really executed full Atmanivedanam. Gopis are always good example because they surrender everything. But of course, gopis gave everything. They even gave their clothes and then stood naked before God. And they, in a way that we all have to do that. We have to stand naked before God. Just surrender everything what we have and okay, I'm yours without any. Gopis, sure, example of full Atmanivedanam. But Shukadev Gamig is example of two specific devotees. Bali Maharaj, he was forced to give everything. He just, okay, I give everything. And Ambarish, they have a complete Atmanivedanam. So, I think it's night time to end. But I didn't even finish the purport, but you read the purport, but it's just, I feel it's impossible. I even suggested that that devotees take turn and each one of them speaks about one aspect of devotional service, but we had to squeeze the whole thing, so I stopped at Kirtanam. So I think we should stop now without any questions or just one brief. Yeah.